Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Good morning, Vision Church. How you guys doing this morning? All right, I just got to say, you guys totally beat out the 9 o'clock. Because I asked how y'all doing this morning, and they were like, so you guys definitely beat out the 9 o'clock. Y'all, my name is Matt Cusack. I serve as the discipleship director here at Vision Church, and I have the honor to be bringing the word today. I just formally want to thank Pastor Tyson. I want to thank Vision Church for having me. Obviously, I'm not nearly as tall as Pastor Tyson, so I feel like a toddler standing behind this pulpit. The man is like 7 foot eternity, and he's just, I am not nowhere near that. And what's funny is that I just think about my wife. Last time I preached, she was like, you should use a table. But I was like, I refuse. I'm just going to use the pulpit. Even though I look funny, I should probably wear some platform shoes or something. But they didn't come in time from Amazon. So anyways, let's pray, and then we'll go into the word today. Sounds good? Heavenly Father, we just welcome you into this place, even though you're already here. Lord, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do in these next few moments. God, I pray that you will hide me behind the cross. I'm sure these people don't want to hear from me, God. They want to hear from you. Lord, I pray that this word would be thought-provoking. God, that it would be spirit-provoking, Lord. God, that would just cause us to do something for you, Lord God. God, I pray for faith to arise in this room. I pray for miracles to be broken out, Lord. We love you and we honor your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. So in light of Independence Day today, which by the way, happy July 4th, everybody. I want to welcome the online audience as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. You could be anywhere tonight or this morning online. And you're here at Vision Church, so welcome you guys. In light of Independence Day, I want to preach a message called Declaration of Dependence. I believe that one of the issues in our nation today is that we've set up a separation between church and state. How many of you guys are familiar with that term, that there is a separation between church and state? And I think the reason why our nation is in the state that it's in is because we've caused this separation. I don't believe that the church has lost its power. I believe the church has only lost its position. In Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the pinnacle of the Christian faith where everything shifted. And 3,000 were added to the number that day. And the same power that was there that day is the same power that's in the church today. So the church has not lost its power. We've only merely lost our position. And it's time to take back the territory for the church. See, unfortunately, we've tried to take God out of our government. We've tried to take God out of our schools. We've tried to take God out of our money. And then we wonder, well, where is God? Well, we haven't made a room for him. We've tried to take him out of everything. We've tried to take him out of our Pledge of Allegiance. But you know what? Let me tell you something. You could try to take him off our dollars and out of our Pledge of Allegiance, but you'll never be able to take him out of the mouth of believers. Yeah. And that is the absolute truth. And believers, it's up to us to proclaim the gospel. Because if we don't, who will? It's our opportunity to reach this nation, to reach this world with and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We haven't lost our power. We've lost our position. There is still hope for this nation, for we are one nation under God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, oh, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Got a question, where are the people of God at this morning? If my people who are called by my name, it is our opportunity to pray, to seek, to turn from our wicked ways, and God will heal from heaven. He will heal our land, and he will forgive us of our sin. This morning, I believe that it's our opportunity to declare a dependence to God. See, we need to be dependent on God for absolutely everything. Our next breath is dependent on him. Our next heartbeat is dependent on him. Waking up this morning, we were dependent on him. So therefore, I believe that we need to set a declaration of independence against the world and the things of this world and be completely sold out to his mission, to his purpose. Pastor Tyson has spoken something over the leadership, and ever since he's spoken to it, it's just kind of been embedded in me, and he's asked this question. Is God Lord over your life? Maybe he's just a guy that sits on a throne, or is he master? Is he Lord? Is he your everything? Is he God over your life? And if he is, our dependence needs to be on him. I'm a fan of The Office. I'm switching gears here. I'm a fan of The Office, and Michael Scott, one of the main characters, he was having some money issues, and he said this statement right here. He says, I declare bankruptcy. And somebody said, well, Michael, you can't just say it. He's like, well, I didn't say it. I declared it. I don't think it's enough just to declare that we are Christians. I don't think it's just enough just to declare that we are people of God. We got to live it out every single day. We can't just be Sunday morning Christians and Monday morning heathens. No. We need to be people of God Monday through Sunday. Lord, forgive me. Yeah, go ahead and take 2 days off. That's fine. No. Monday through Sunday, 24/7, 365 and 366 on leap years, because we don't take a day off here at Vision Church. It's a matter of the gospel transforming us to transform this world, to transform this nation. The church has not lost its power. We've lost our position. We need to get to a point where we declare our dependence to God and live it out every single day. This next statement that I'm getting ready to say does not make sense to any non-believer. So non-believer, they're watching. You probably won't be able to identify with what I'm getting ready to say. But our life, our possessions, our material, our home, our cars, our money, our relationships, they don't belong to us. They belong to him, and we are dependent on him. And everything that you have right now, I'm getting ready to tell you, it's because he allowed you to have it. Your success and your merit was not based on what you did. It's about based on what he did through you. I don't know who this is for, but some people try to contemplate miracles in their mind. But listen, if a miracle can be explained, then it's not a miracle. If a miracle can be explained by mere human words and can fit in our 3-pound finite brain, then it is not a miracle, because a miracle is supernatural, and the supernatural supersedes our understanding. Many of you say, well, I just don't see God, so therefore I don't have faith. Well, let me tell you something. If your faith is by watching and by looking, then you're doing it wrong. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So open up your ears and see that God is doing a new thing in this community. God is doing a new thing in this church. You can hear it all day. People are getting saved left to right. We are reaching out to this community. We're preaching the gospel. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So stop looking and start listening, because God is doing a new thing. The verses I want to focus on today is John 15, 1 through 17. I told the first service, I'm probably not going to read all of it, and I ended up reading all of it, so you're in for a ride. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Here's the kicker right here. I want you to lean into this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What makes us think that we can walk this Christian life alone, or what makes us think that we can live in this world? Listen, we are not people of abandonment. We are people of God. He is our Father. He is Abba Father. He loves us. He is here to welcome us in and to transform us from the inside out. Listen, you don't have to walk this life alone. I don't know who that's for, because I didn't say that in the 9 o'clock. But listen, apart from God, you can do nothing. I believe that there is a God-shaped hole inside of all of us that only He can fill. No addiction can fill it. No lifestyle can fill it. Only God Himself can fill the hole in your heart. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father. Let me highlight that real quick. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. What fruit are you bearing today? What fruit are you producing today? Are you pointing people to the cross? Are you pointing people to eternity? Are you hindering them? We can't be a hindrance anymore. We need to be people of God, people who produce life. Listen, the same Spirit of God that resurrected Jesus Christ on the third day is the same Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. So we are people of life. We are people of resurrection. And it's time for the church to take back its position. We cannot retreat. We must advance in the name of Jesus. Be people of life. Hallelujah. Lost my place. Oh, this brings great glory to my Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Now remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Isn't it amazing the Savior of the world obeyed his Father? So it makes us any better. We need to obey what God has commanded us to do. I believe that so many of us may be running from a calling right now. Maybe God has asked you to do something. Maybe God has put it on your heart to reach a person, reach a community. Maybe God has called you to preach. Maybe God has called you to teach. Listen, the fivefold ministry is the gift to the church. And if you're not giving, they're not getting. So let me tell you something. It is your opportunity to become part of the fivefold ministry. God has a calling for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. But we have to answer the call. Nobody else will do it for you. Hallelujah. He says this, I have told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. There is just something incredible when we as believers recognize what God has called us to do. There's one thing that we're all called to do, and it's called to be an evangelist. It's called the Great Commission. Go into all the nation and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're waiting for a call, there's one right there. There's a word, go, because he's already said in Matthew 28:19, go look it up. He's already called you to go. What are you waiting for? Hallelujah. And when we do it, listen, you're looking for joy in the world. You're looking for satisfaction. You're looking for something to fill that God-shaped hole. It's only him. He's the only one that can do it. And when we serve him, when we begin to love on him, his love, if we remain in his love and his love remains in us, something supernatural happens that we are filled with his joy and his joy begins to overflow. Have you ever, maybe as a kid, try to fill up a cup and you just let it keep going? Oh, it'll make a mess. But listen, his joy is so contagious. That's fine. Let it make a message of our mess, right? Let God's joy be so contagious in this community, so contagious in your life that you just cannot contain it. There is a fire that's burning on the inside and it cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, this is my commandment that you all would love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything my Father has told me. Lean in right here. You didn't choose me. I chose you. God chose you. In the midst of your sin, in the midst of your ugliness, God chose you. At your worst, God chose you. That is a friend. I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit so that my Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command that you will love each other. How incredible is it that the name above every name, Jesus himself, gives us access to the Father through that name. And he gives us permission to use the name of Jesus. Listen, I have seen demons flee at the name of Jesus. I've seen people come to life in the name of Jesus. I have seen people be healed in the name of Jesus. I've seen addictions be broken in the name of Jesus. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. And yet Jesus himself gives us access to his own name, to the Father. Hallelujah. And again, in light of Independence Day, I want to talk to you about three different things. I want to talk to you about life, liberty, and not the pursuit of happiness, but the pursuit of his spirit. Life. I scroll through Instagram very frequently. My wife gets mad at me, trying to find the bottom, and I never do. You can hashtag Instagram versus reality, and it's hilarious. Where you see one picture that is beautiful, it has filters, it's edited, it looks awesome. And then you swipe left, it just looks horrific, it's a mess, and it's Instagram versus reality. Reality is the picture didn't look that way. But why do most of us live our lives that way? God doesn't want us to come to him with a filter, come to this church with a filter. Hey guys, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm good. Look at my exterior, but you're dying on the inside. God wants you to remove the filters. In fact, he can see past the filters. He can see past every wall that you've put up. He can see past everything, everybody that you haven't forgiven in your life. He can see past all of that. He sees right to the heart, and he still wants you. He still wants you. A holy God would want wretched old me. God see past. He can see past your filters. Our life is not built on our own merit, but our life was bought with a price, and his price was blood. Jesus' blood on the cross. God wants full custody of your life, not just weekend visits. Many years ago, my family and I, we were going on a trip to Guatemala, and my son was two at the time, we had to get him a passport. Now, if you ever try to get a passport photo for a toddler, it is hysterical. Try to get him to sit still, he was leaning in one and everything. And trying to get that picture. So if you want to see the picture of his passport, just let me know. I'll show it to you later. But isn't it crazy that him as a two-year-old, he needed his own ticket. He needed his own passport. He needed his own seat on the plane as a two-year-old. So I say all that to say this. Your grandmama praying for you doesn't save you. Your mom praying and fasting doesn't save you. Oh, it's necessary. But it does not save you, for we have been saved by the blood of Jesus. And it's our opportunity to receive that and believe it through faith that we have been blood bought and now live for him. For he produces life on the inside. Listen, you can't do it on your own. You absolutely need him. Your grandmama can't save you. Only Jesus can. So let me kind of break this down real quick. So you've been bought with a price. That is your ticket. The passport is the Holy Spirit. Because he rewrites our identity, gives us a brand new name. Hallelujah. And that plane is God taking us from glory to glory. So my question is, do you have your ticket? You got your passport? Are you headed towards the plane? Because there's a seat waiting for you, and it's called salvation. Hallelujah. I want to remind you this morning that we can't serve two masters. Because we will love one and hate the other. We can't serve the masters of this world and try to serve God. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow their knee to the idols, but they stood up against it. The same way we need to stand up against the idols that this world has created and stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot serve two masters, for we will love one and hate the other. He is the source of all life, Jesus Christ. In him is found the newness of life, and he breathed in us the breath of life. And up until that moment where he breathed the breath of life in us, we are dead in the trespasses of sin. But he wants to make you new. He wants to give you new life and have the fullness of joy in him. You know, there are two words in the Bible. I'm getting ready to teach you. Two words in the Bible that mean the exact same thing, but at the same time, they're completely opposite from one another. The two words are holiness and sinfulness. Well, how are they exact same, Matt? I'm gonna tell you why. Because holiness means to be separate. And sinfulness also means to be separate. Holiness means to be separate from the things of this world, from the rulers of this world, to be separate from the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, to be completely separate from that. And sinfulness means to be separate from the things of God, from the will of God, from the people of God, to be separate from him completely. So my question is, are you a holy person or are you a sinful person? Because there is no gray area. There's no in between. And if you are a holy person, let me tell you, that doesn't mean that we won't stumble. Doesn't mean that we won't fall. We are not perfect. God is not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our persistence. We have to be persistent with the things of the gospel, not back down. Matthew 10:39 says this, if you cling on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. You want brand new life, then you got to lose it. Isaiah 6, a very famous chapter where Isaiah had a visual of God and his glory. He saw the angels flying around his throne crying out, holy, holy, holy. In other words, separate, separate, separate is the Lord God Almighty. And he says this in the very first sentence of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Anybody would read that and walk right by it. But not me. I like to go deeper into things. Who was King Uzziah? Why was it imperative that Isaiah wrote, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord? And I'm going to tell you why. King Uzziah, the Bible says that he was a good king of Judah. He reigned for 52 years, and he reigned alongside the ministries of the prophets, Hosea, Isaiah, Amos, Jonah, and Zechariah. Do you notice that all of them have a book named after them except for Uzziah? There's a point to that. Uzziah was described as a person who did everything right in the eyes of God. During his reign, the Lord used him to defeat many armies, but something happened to Uzziah. Uzziah became prideful as he entered the temple to burn an offering unto God. If you know anything about the temple in the Old Testament, only the priests could offer a burnt offering to God within the temple. By attempting to do this, Isaiah himself was basically saying he is above the law and he is above God. He was struck with leprosy and died. His pride destroyed him. So in other words, when Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What he is really saying is, in the year that pride died, I saw the Lord. In the year that pride died, and I mean pride with an I, in the year that I died, I saw the Lord. Listen, friends, something's got to die in us to be able to see God work. Something's got to die within inside of us to see salvation at work firsthand. Jesus equals salvation, and salvation equals life. Romans 6:23 tells us this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you don't have to work to earn salvation. It's already been given. It is a free gift. John 6:28-35, let me tell you the context real quick. Jesus just fed the 5,000. You know, the five loaves, two fish. This is what happened. Jesus fed the 5,000. And then look at what these guys had to say. Now, I feel like I could go back to the Bible and like smack some people around. But listen, in front of Jesus, they replied, we want to perform miracle. We want to perform God's work too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only word God wants for you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. He just fed you. Show us a miraculous sign. But you know what? I feel like we do that all the time. Hey, God, if that light turns green right now, I will serve you. God, if she sends me a friend request or a follow on Instagram, oh, I will serve you. Show us a miraculous sign. And they continue on to say, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Oh, and Jesus, listen to what he says here. I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, my Father did. And he offers you the true bread from heaven. Listen, a lot of y'all think that you made it how far you did in life because of what others did for you. Or because of what you did for yourself. I want to remind you of something. He allowed it to happen. He allowed you to be there. Don't get it twisted, friend. God gave it to you. Now it's your opportunity to steward it. Our lives are not our own. It all belongs to him. True bread, the true bread of God, is the one who comes down from heaven, gives his life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Skip down to verse 47. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Whoever eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Now, here's a side note. They mentioned Moses, right? Well, when Moses had a burning bush experience, Moses asked God, well, when they asked me who sent me, what should I say? And what did God reply? I am. And did Jesus not say, I am, all through this passage? Let me remind you of something. Jesus, in all of history, is the only one who said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the Messiah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the I am. And look, friend, if you're dealing with something that I can encourage you, you need the I am in your life today. We cannot depend on ourselves. We have to be dependent on him. We have the power to give life and to take life away by what we speak. So, friends, I encourage you, speak life today. Some people have asked me, well, how do you know what you believe is true? One, I read his word. Because his word is alive and it's active and it's here today and it's working today. Number two, there was power in the name of Jesus. I mentioned I've seen demons flee at the name of Jesus. Oh, in Nicaragua, I got to tell you something. I saw a man chained up to a house and nobody could approach him. But as soon as we approached him in Jesus' name, that man was more calm than ever before. There was power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only one to ever say he is the Messiah. He is the light. He is life. He is resurrection. And he is truth. The second point I want to make today as I'm running out of time is liberty. The Bible says, for where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. All bondage must be broken in the name of Jesus. All addiction must be broken in the name of Jesus. He is here to set the captives free. Friend, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I'm here to encourage you this morning that Jesus wants to set you free and he wants to set you alive in him. Now, how many times have we found ourselves saying this statement right here? If I could only get such and such, then I'll be happy. We try to categorize possessions or things as a form of happiness. And what happens is that you get that thing, and then your neighbor got something else, something better. And so it's this constant rat race trying to keep up with society. God is saying, look, that stuff right there will never satisfy. I am the only one who will ever satisfy. Psalms 107, 8, and 9, let them praise the Lord, for he is great, for his love is great, and the wonders that he and the wonderful things that he's done. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Only God can satisfy your heart. Do you remember the woman at the well? Without going too much into the woman at the well, I want to remind you of something. The woman at the well would always find herself at a well every time she committed adultery. The Bible says that she had five husbands and was with a sixth man, and she would always go back to this well. This was Jacob's well. Jesus told her this in John 4:10. If you knew the gifts of God, and you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask me, and I will give you living water. In the context of this scripture, as the woman at the well would come, she had five men in her life, five husbands, and she was with number six. She met number seven at the well. If you know anything about the number, biblical numerals, number seven is the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. So when she came to this well, after she was in the midst of her sin, she encountered Jesus, the perfect man, told her everything she had ever done, and offered her living water. Friend, you could be going from bad relationship and struggle to struggle and addiction to addiction, and all of it will never satisfy. But there's one person, one thing, one man that's waiting for you today. His name is Jesus. And he wants to fill you with living water. He is fully man, fully God, and he's absolutely perfect. Our Savior Jesus. The last thing I want to talk to you today is the pursuit of his Spirit. I said it before, God is not looking for your perfection. He is looking for your persistence. The Christian life isn't easy. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. This is a lifestyle of constant pursuit. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says that she suffered with this issue for 12 years. And she exhausted all she had to try to get healing from this issue. I couldn't imagine dealing with something for so long. But all of a sudden, she heard that Jesus was coming her way. Friends, I'm telling you something. Jesus is coming your way. Are you listening? She heard that Jesus was coming her way. And therefore, she said, I have tried everything under the sun. But the one thing I haven't tried was the Son of God. I want to try him today. The Bible says that she literally began to fight the crowd and break through. She said, if I could only reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. Friend, if you could only reach out in a constant pursuit to God, reach out and touch his life. Power leaves the throne of God when we touch heaven, when we reach out for heaven. And God is activated in those moments. God is activated in those situations. God wants you to reach out to him. But listen, the reason why I bring up the story, because it's a constant pursuit. This Christian life is not easy. We're bound up in a lie when we said yes to God and we expected everything to be easy. We expected everything to be magical. No, we got to fight for our breakthrough. There are things that you've been praying for, family members you've been praying for. I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling you this morning, keep on praying, keep on being persistent. You are almost there. Reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Let the power of God be activated in that situation and you will see a turnaround in that person's life. Hallelujah. You got to reach out and touch God's Spirit. Very famous passage of scripture here. Jeremiah 29:11. I think we can all quote it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And sometimes we stop right there. We only listen to that one verse, but there's instruction right after it. It says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. There is a pursuit that has to happen in our heart where we are wholeheartedly looking and searching and expecting God to move. There is something that has to happen. Something has to be activated in our lives. We have to pursue God with all of our being, not just some of it. God's not looking for half-hearted Christians. He's looking for wholehearted Christians, people who are completely sold out for him. Listen, every little step that we take is just projecting this into his destiny. And it may seem so insignificant, and I'm going to wrap it up here. When you build a house, depending on the size of the house, it takes at least 12,000 nails. Quick Google search. I didn't calculate that on my own. It takes about 12,000 nails to build a house. You think every nail that you put is significant? It may feel so insignificant, one nail in light of 11,999, but when they're combined, you get a house. Every nail serves a purpose, and you fully get a house. Every step that you're taking, friend, is just getting you closer to God, getting closer to those purposes. For I know the will, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Every step that you take is just getting you one step closer. So don't give up. Never stop pursuing God. And we have to set our dependence completely on him and be independent from this world. Pursue his life, his liberty, and the pursuit of his Spirit every single day of our lives. And just as a reminder, your salvation, it only took three nails. Only took three nails. And it was enough to satisfy. And now our life is built on the rock, Jesus Christ. I want to remind somebody today that there is no sin too great to separate you from the love of God. Romans 8:38 says, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, Not the power of all hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is revealed through Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, only ourselves. And it's time for us to receive God's love, God's purpose, God's will, pursue His life, His liberty, and His spirit. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to kind of bring it home here. Maybe you hear these words and you just don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you, as of today, you want to give your heart over to Him fully and completely. I want to tell you, friend, that He is expecting and He is waiting. Jesus was sitting at the well when the woman at the well arrived to Him. He was already there. Jesus is already there. He's ready to meet you right where you're at. All you have to do is go to Him. Listen, you don't have to go to those empty wells anymore. Some of us are going to resources to try to find satisfaction. No, it's time to go to the source, who is Jesus Christ Himself. I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just say, "Dear Lord, I give you my life wholeheartedly today. I want to know you and I want to encounter you in a greater measure. I believe that you died on the cross for me to set me free of all bondage in Jesus' mighty name." And I want to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for this word that you've put inside of my heart. I delivered it to the best of my abilities, Father. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit now will be activated, Lord God, and take what was spoken, Lord Jesus, and use it for your glory. God, I pray, Father, for this congregation. I bless them in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that you will use us to be people, a catalyst for people to meet you, Lord God. Use us as vessels of your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you'd like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.